Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Back when I was in high school, and I'm going to hope that I was like a sophomore and not a senior, so we'll go with sophomore, I was helping to lead a retreat for youth group, and we were playing this game, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Right? It was all about kind of Catholic, you know, theology and doctrines and teaching, and so I was the host, and we actually brought in a fifth grader. It was great. But one of the things that we were talking about was the Eucharist, and I had kept using the technical theological word of what happens at Mass, right, when the bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ, which for all those who know the word, it's like a 100-point word probably in Scrabble. There's 1,000 syllables, right, transubstantiation. For the life of me, I could not say it correctly. Could not. I think I tried saying it like 7 times, said it 7 different ways. And so at the end of, the retreat, I got in trouble because I lost my name tag. And so as a consequence, I had to do an embarrassing thing to spell out transubstantiation. And so I could probably spell it out, but I won't because I would take the whole homily. But the word is really confusing. Transubstantiation, like what happens, like what it means, is confusing. Because what it says is that the Eucharist, what we see here, bread and wine, become the body and blood of Christ. Doesn't make any sense. Right? It looks like bread, looks like wine, and yet it's not. Now, don't take my word for it. That's what Jesus says in the gospel. He tells us that you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life within you. This is at the height of Catholic teaching. Like, this is essentially the most important thing for Catholics to believe. Right? Everything else is important. But if we don't get this, if we don't understand this, nothing else makes sense. And I would argue that nothing else actually matters. Because without the Eucharist, we have no life. But this is one of the biggest things that people have a problem with in the church. Right? Whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or anything else. Right? A study that was done in 2019, which has gotten better, but in 2019, only a third of Catholics actually believed that the Eucharist was the body and blood of Jesus. Like, actually, really there. Most thought it was just a symbol. That's gotten a lot better. We've been doing the Eucharistic Congress, right? A lot more kind of teaching on it. So that's gotten better. But the Protestants, atheists, like everyone else, right? No. That's not Jesus. Well, Jesus seems to think so. And that's what we hear in our gospel. John chapter 6, which is the end of what's called the Bread of Life discourse. And he literally says, the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. So first things first, if he was speaking not literally, why are the people listening quarreling among themselves saying, why is he telling us that we have to eat his flesh? Like, why are they upset? If it's symbol, if it's symbolic. And yet Jesus continues. And he said, he's like, yeah, you heard me right. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. He uses the word flesh and blood like 10 times in like these 7 verses. He keeps saying it again and again and again. Even the words to eat are like almost always in Scripture used literally. He keeps saying, you have to eat my flesh, drink my blood. And what we don't hear here, which is really sad, is that right after this, a bunch of people left. They couldn't take it. And the next thing Jesus says is, he turns to his 12 closest friends and says, do you want to leave? So once again, if this was just a symbol, if the Eucharist is not actually his body and blood, that it seems like he keeps saying it is, wouldn't you think, out of the confusion, he would have yelled back at the crowd, say, guys, no, you got it wrong. You misunderstood me. Right? You don't have to actually eat my body. Cannibalism, please. Right? We have some class, okay? We're not barbarians. Right. He could have said something. But no, he actually intensifies language. He doubles down. He says it again and again. Then when all the crowds leave, he turns to the 12 and just says, what about you guys? He doesn't clarify with them. He doesn't say, hey guys, everyone else got it wrong, right? They misunderstood me like they almost always do. But you, my innermost 12, my closest friends, the ones that I tell everything, explain all my parables and kind of teachings with clarity to, this is what I actually meant. He could have. But he didn't. All he said, do you want to leave also? So it would seem that Jesus was willing to essentially have the balance in the future of the church on this one principle. He was willing to let the 12 go, everyone leave him, because of what he was saying. This is how important the Eucharist is. That's why, right, the Mass is so often referred to as a source and summit of our faith. But so often, we forget about it. We don't recognize it. We doubt. We don't understand. And I get it. It looks like bread. It looks like wine. It's very easy to, at the very least, not even think about that it's actually his body and blood. Even for myself. It's happening right in front of me. It's happening in my hands. And it's so easy to just think, oh, this is bread. This is wine, because that's what we see. But Jesus said again and again, no, the bread that you're going to eat is actually my flesh. It's my blood, and you need it. So if that's true, right, if what Jesus says is true, that needs to change everything that we do. Right? If Jesus Christ is physically present in the tabernacle, that changes everything. Right? It changes how we approach Mass. Right? It should change how we even dress when we show up, how we behave in a church, even how we receive him. Because it's not just bread. It's not just wine. But it is the God who loves you beyond anything else. The one who created you. The one that loves you so much that he's willing to literally become in the form of bread and wine. To lay down his life for each and every single one of us. So today, as we celebrate Corpus Christi, right, the body and blood of Christ, maybe today we start thinking about how do we actually think about the Eucharist? Right? Where are we at? Right? Do we like not believe at all? Are we a firm believer, 100%? Are we somewhere in the middle? Right? Do we have doubts, questions? Right? Where are you? And take an honest look. Because no matter where you're at, take it to the Lord. That's why I encourage you this week, right, spend time in front of the tabernacle, in adoration. Ask Jesus to increase that desire in your heart. Maybe even ask him, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. Right? Help me to believe without a question, without doubt, always and forever. Or protect me from the temptation to not believe, to disregard it. Maybe the prayer is simply, Jesus, as I come forward to receive you in the Eucharist, help me to do so reverently. Help me to recognize you in my hands, on my tongue, within me. Transform me. Change me. That's what happens. That's what the Lord desires. And what a gift it is. That's like 99% reason why I love being Catholic. Why I love being a priest. Because our God is so close. So real, so present. And so as we worship him today, and as we get ready to receive him in just a few minutes, let us prepare our hearts. Let us recognize him in the Eucharist. the one who loves us, the one who gave us his body and his blood so that we might have eternal life.